Hey everyone, you are tuning into the AfterBuzz TV After Show for the SAG Awards special. Make sure you stay tuned. We are going to be talking fashion, awards, everything. You don't want to miss it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show special events coverage for the SAG Awards. We are so excited to talk about everything that happened Sunday night, and we even have something to talk about coming up with the Oscar nominations all coming out today. We have so much to chat about on tonight's show. I am your host. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Golub. We have a full panel here tonight of co-hosts. We even have a special guest, resident film expert, Max Leon. Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at leon.max on Instagram.
Yeah, he's going to be here tonight to make sure to give us all the insights, give about all the movies that I have and haven't seen. So
do my best.
We're very lucky to have Max here tonight and fellow co-hosts that are always here. Where can they find you guys on social media?
You can find me at Lauren T. Pacheco.
And you can find me at liza.rubin on Instagram.
So a lot of the stars on Sunday night were dripping in finesse, I must say. Let's just get this show started by talking about some of the fashion. There was a lot this Sunday night, because the last time we kind of saw all these stars, aside from the Critics' Choice Awards, was at the Golden Globes, and they were all wearing all black. So tonight, I feel like, was the first night that they really got to step out in color, and a lot of them were still wearing Time's Up pins and, like, definitely still had the Me Too movement embraced into their either speeches, outfits, whatever, but it was fun to see them all kind of dress up again and have it not necessarily just be about, like, a movement, but also about the fashion again. So some of our best dress, we will always start with best, because let's start on a high note. I think one that I know Lauren and I agree on, I don't know if everyone agrees on, but is Millie Bobby Brown. Was my personal absolute favorite of the night.
She looks so
I
cute.
Love when, like, a 13-year-old girl dresses her age.
Me too. That's why I loved it.
Yeah, and she had two buns in her hair. She was wearing Converse, which, Max, I know you love a good pair of Converse.
I do, and I did see that outfit, and that was something I was going to comment on.
It was,
like,
yeah.
The footwear.
Love the footwear. Like, be comfortable, you know? You're
sensible
13.
Sensible
footwear. She's so cute.
And I loved the buns. I loved the pink glittery dress. Like, it couldn't have been
from
more
head to toe.
More age appropriate. Like,
right. Well, can I tell you, I saw this up front, like, when I mean up front, she was literally, like, right here.
Okay,
and I was behind her.
For everyone who's tuning in for the first time to this show, Liza works for E!, so she gets to be
yes.
up close and personal. What was it like in person?
Okay, so, well, first she was approaching our platform, and the photographers would not leave her alone. They usually do the step and repeat, and then they make their way towards the platform, but they were literally
obsessed
following
with her
down the red carpet. So everyone was following her around. Everyone wanted a picture with her. And then she stepped up, and she was just so cute. And you can attest, Millie Bobby Brown, you know, usually her fashion's a little bit, I think it's
unique.
It's unique, but it's a little too mature
for
her sometimes, I think, in my personal opinion. I thought this was so perfect. I loved it. Obviously loved the cons. And I just thought her dress was so cute in the boats. I don't know. I thought everything about it was just so perfect.
When I was 13, it was my bat mitzvah. Like, I would wear this. If my bat mitzvah was in this day and age, like, I would wear this exact outfit.
Okay, well, it was Millie Bobby Brown's bat mitzvah at the SAG Awards, apparently.
Max may or may not have been at my bat mitzvah.
I may have been at that bat mitzvah.
Was she wearing this outfit?
I would have.
With the space buns.
I don't think she was wearing that.
But, like, if I was 13 today,
sure,
that would be what I would wear. For sure. So, like, I totally loved it. I think that she looked comfortable and happy and, like, beautiful in her own skin, and, like, exactly how a 13-year-old should look. So I was excited about her. Another young woman who I think slayed the carpet, and I think a lot of people also agree, is Yara Shahidi. She was in a custom Ralph Lauren, like, jumpsuit with a huge train. And Yara is, like, a really amazing role model for both young women and men. I think she's really politically charged in a really positive way. And I think it's always amazing when someone like her, who usually just, like, goes no hair and makeup and is usually really natural, rocks an outfit like this that's so glam, and you can be like, okay, I can do both, you know? And I love this. It was simple, but, like, made a statement, and she looked awesome. I love when women kind of embrace the menswear, womenswear hybrid.
I agree.
So I have a question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
As far as the dresses go, and I'm sure it's the same for men, when you're wearing a dress, this was Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
So they give it to you. You're not obviously
paying
for anything.
For it, no.
But then you have to give it back.
I believe so. This is custom, so I think that's I'm actually not sure. Like, I think with certain dresses, they do give back.
Gotcha.
But because this is custom, I think this was, like, Ralph Lauren for Yara. Mm. You know what I mean? So maybe she does get to keep it. But at the end of the day, they go to so many award shows every year. That's a really good question. I don't even know where they would put all this stuff. Like, do they have, like, an airplane hanger for all their different outfits?
Probably. Well, these days, you cannot outfit repeat. There is way too much, like, social media. So what's the point of keeping it anyway?
Mm. Right. But when they come to you, usually, from my understanding, the designer will approach a certain celebrity and ask them, you know, if they want to design a custom dress, and it's almost like an honor. You know what I mean? Because usually...
Do they get paid?
I don't know how that works.
I don't
know
if they get
paid, I don't know the logistics behind it, but a lot of the times, it's for the publicity.
It kind of becomes a collab.
Yeah.
It's like, you know when different brands collaborate with different people on social media and stuff? It's almost the same with these red carpet looks. I feel like maybe sometimes they get paid, but it's also, I think, an honor for someone like Yara to marry her name to the Ralph Lauren brand.
Right.
And then Ralph Lauren to marry them.
I mean, both parties definitely benefit from it, but, you know, sometimes designers do give it to a certain celebrity so that they can in turn say their name when they ask, what are you wearing?
Sure.
The capes were kind of in last night.
They were,
too. There were, like, a lot of, like, drapey backs, but I like them.
Yeah, you know who was wearing something like that was Lupita Nyong'o, and she actually wasn't on a lot of Best Dressed lists, or Worst Dressed lists, for that matter, but she always...
She looked really good.
She does, and she always is, like, pristine in terms of fashion. She's, like, iconic on red carpet, so it was cool to see her back in the mix, because she's kind of been off the grid for a couple years.
I know. I'm sure she kept close tabs on her dress, too, after the whole... stealing the dress and
that is true. Okay, so let's talk about a couple outfits that had some mixed reviews, because not all of them are going to be rave reviews like Yara's. I literally think Yara was on every Best Dress list.
Yeah.
One mixed one amongst, and at least I know in this group, is Margot Robbie's. So I know Lauren loved it.
I didn't know it was mixed.
I did not like the feathers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So Margot was nominated for Tonya. She was, she, like, was wearing this blush pink. It's Miu Miu, pronunciation, question mark. I think that she looks a lot better than she did at the Globes. I wasn't crazy about her Globes dress, but this was just halfway there for me.
I thought she killed it. She looks so good. I mean, feathers
agree.
And all. Like,
I like it.
So this was another one that I saw up close, and she was absolutely flawless.
I mean, her face, it doesn't get...
Yeah, her face is...
But even the blush pink on her skin tone was unreal. By the way, her skin is flawless, so that's just another thing. And I was just staring at the beading and the feathers, and I was just like, God, this is amazing.
It's a work of art, almost.
Honestly, she's my best dressed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. It's so funny for me to see her on carpet speak with her Australian accent, because she's never acted in a film, correct me if I'm wrong, with an Australian accent.
Like, I know.
Like, Wolf of Wall Street, what's the one with all the superheroes? Suicide Squad. The bad guy superhero one.
Yeah.
I did see it.
But
whatever.
You know, she is known... She came from Australian soap opera.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
right?
So that's what she started on.
There you go.
Okay, wait. You will be, like, the deal breaker.
Do you like it?
Ooh, Max, weigh in.
Oh, sure. I think from what I can see and from what I've learned from you guys talking... I think I do, but then I'm thinking over to the next one, which I know Danny has a strong opinion on, and I'm trying to think what the difference is there, and I can't really come up with one. So
spoiler alert.
So I think I think she's in a very attractive person, and
she truly can't really wear something wrong.
She could wear a trash bag and be like, oh my god, where do I get that?
Yeah. Thanks for Sky Patterson for tuning in, by the way. He thinks the Screen Actors Guilds were very interesting.
Ooh.
So
Sky Patterson.
Shout out to Sky. Thanks for tuning in with us. We appreciate you watching. I'll be looking for more comments from all you guys. Okay, fine. We'll talk about our one worst dress, and then we'll get on to the show. The worst dress for me, and to be honest, I hate doing worst dress because I think that everyone, like, looks great, and these are all, like, fashion risks in themselves, and I think it's cool to take a fashion risk, but there are fashion misses, in my opinion. Kate Hudson was a bit of a miss for me. She has the most gorgeous figure, arguably, in Hollywood, and she drowned it in a dress where I couldn't see, like, what she looked like, and I think with, like, her new haircut, which I know she shaved for Sia's movie, I wish she was wearing something that was, like... I don't know, because I want to say, like, more feminine, but it really doesn't get more feminine than pink hearts, but, like, something more form-fitting that I really could have, like, seen. I was distracted and didn't look at her face because I was distracted by, like, the dress.
Okay, you know the movie The Beguiled or whatever with Nicole Kidman? Yes. What was it called? This is, like, that gone wrong. Like, this is, like, the dresses that those women were wearing in that movie, but
I know. Terrible. Yeah, it's quite a shame, because she usually does really, really well on red carpets.
Well, I think her past red carpet looks have been very Kate Hudson. You know, the tight body con, she's known for her body, hashtag Fabletics.
Yeah.
But
she has a full brand.
Saw that commercial today.
yeah, with her new short hair. I can appreciate the risks that she's taking. I think you're right. I think she has this new persona with the short hair. I saw the hearts, and I guess Valentine's Day is coming up.
Right.
So it's, I mean, kinda,
like,
it's relevant.
This is actually, like, pretty on point to what I actually did wear to my bar mitzvah. Like, I did wear a pink and black polka dotted dress with a bow. Oh, like, we can get pictures next week and put them side by side with Kate, because,
yeah,
like,
we should definitely
truly, like, I just felt like it was really young, and she's, like, a mature woman. She's a mom. Like, it just felt like if Millie Bobby Brown wore this, I almost would get it more than if Kate was wearing it. Kate's, like, an adult. It feels like a very juvenile dress for someone her age. But, again, I'm not an expert on fashion. Just my opinion. Yeah, who knows? Sky thinks Margot Robbie is very beautiful and amazingly intelligent.
I agree.
I agree too.
Shout out to Sky.
Shout out to Sky. Sky's our number one fan at the moment. Thank you, Sky, for being our friend. Our friends aren't even watching, but Sky is. Anyway, let's talk about the show, because there was so much to talk about, and we're going to kind of mix in the Oscar nominations, because those did come out today or yesterday? Yesterday.
Today.
Yeah. Great. Breaking news. You heard it here first, kids. Anyway, we'll kind of mix that in with some of the shows, I mean, movies we talk about, because this SAG Awards is more similar to Globes. It's shows and movies, so we'll talk about everything. Let's start with Kristen Bell's opening monologue, which Kristen Bell's opening monologue, she's the first host of the show ever, which is really cool. She called herself the first lady, which I thought was funny. In traditional SAG fashion, they started it off with, like, an I'm an actor bit, but this time they had only women do it rather than men, and for the most part it was only female presenters, which I think is just a testament to this award season in general. I wonder if this will carry through the Grammys and the Oscars. What do you guys think? That's just, like, a theme for this award season.
It was interesting. I was reading a couple articles, and it kind of got slack because everyone kind of criticized everyone for paying so much attention to, you know, the Me Too, and, you know, Time's Up, you know, kind of statement for the Golden Globes, and then now it's like, oh, everyone can be free and wear the colors again. They're not putting so much more focus on it. So I think it's going to continue throughout award season. I don't see it stopping at all. It doesn't mean everyone has to show up in black to show solidarity for the movement. But I definitely think it's going to be a common theme that we see, especially with the nominations. I think Greta Gerwig's nomination today, she was the fifth woman
ever and eighth first woman in the last eight years
nominated for director. Best director,
which, thank goodness, it is about time that Greta got the justice she deserved. But we'll talk about Lady Bird in a little bit, and it's snubbing at the SAG Awards, which I'm not thrilled about. But the woman that they had do the kickoff were Allison Janney, Tracee Ellis Ross, and Millie Bobby Brown, which is a cool, like, diverse group of women, diverse ages. Like, it was a nice group. It's kind of just, like, again, further evidence that this Me Too movement is going to carry throughout all of awards season. Kristen Bell, just, like, to talk about her as a host, I thought she was great. She looked beautiful. And I think she was, like, the perfect, really light, bubbly, fun energy for award season right now. I think that it's been kind of heavy. And she made jokes, and she was appropriate. And I think she wasn't as, like, cutting edge as Seth Meyers was for the Globes. But she had some funny bits. Like, she was sitting next to Dax Shepard, her husband, and she was talking about, like, the most talented person in Hollywood and everything, and then she turns away and she turns to Greta Gerwig, and it was so funny. Like, she just was, like, cheeky and cute, and overall, what do you guys think of her as a host?
I thought she was great. I agree. Well, it was just different watching the contrast between her and Seth Meyers. I know, obviously, the Golden Globes was a little bit more serious in that sense, just because it was the first award show and everyone was showing up in black, but I don't know. She had an easier time at being more lighthearted. Yeah. Obviously, she is a female, whereas Seth Meyers had to be a little bit more careful, although he kind of wasn't with his jokes.
It was delicate. It was
exactly. Yeah. So I think, in turn, it kind of made it a little bit more fun, I thought. I loved her.
I think it's always tough to, like, at least land jokes hosting. Yeah. I feel like There hasn't been a host that I can remember where I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best.
Okay, can I give you one?
Yeah, for
Amy
sure.
Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
That was a good one.
Globes for 3 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
They were my, I like, they're, honestly, think I mean, they should
that's
host
a good
everything.
Combo.
It helps to have a partner, I imagine.
She was, Kristen was good, and I think she's funny. But yeah, it was nice and light.
Yeah, it was light. Mm-hmm. She kept it light. What do you think, Lauren?
I loved her. I thought it was perfect. She wasn't overpowering. She just, like, was here and there, like, the perfect amount.
Yeah.
Like, she speaks so well and just, like, I thought she was great.
There's something
I love her.
About her that's, like airy and light and just, like, you can't help
well,
but smile.
She's just so cute. She's tiny
yeah.
and
yeah.
shiny and
yeah,
ooh,
she is.
She's
like,
so
you,
funny.
You can't
she's one of those people that nobody hates. Like, I've never heard anyone say, like, I don't like Kristen Bell.
I actually yeah. have met her in person, too, and, like, she's just as lovely. When I used to work, help out with her show, The Good Place, like, she is as lovely as she is on camera in real life, which is, like, such a nice thing to hear, because sometimes these people are, like, you know, on their high horse
sure.
or whatever, but she's great. We have to talk about the biggest award of the evening, which was Morgan Freeman's Lifetime Achievement Award. And you know when you hear a Lifetime Achievement Award and you're like, okay, they're like, Selena Gomez, for example, no problems with her, but she was, like, Billboard's Woman of the Year. I'm like, she's, like, 23. Morgan Freeman is someone who, like, truly, deeply deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award, and I'm actually kind of shocked that he hasn't won it already.
I mean, he literally is the voice of God.
Yes.
Yeah, so. God just won a Lifetime Achievement Award.
So he was presented the award by Rena Moreno, who he presented that exact award to 4 years ago. And, I mean, I really can't think of someone more well-deserving of a Lifetime Achievement Award. What do you guys think of his speech?
I didn't catch his speech.
There was, like, a joke about the hat or something.
Yeah.
yeah.
It was.
Wait,
like,
what was the thing about him talking to the girl in the crowd, like, telling someone to be quiet? Did you see that part? Where he was, like, addressing someone in the crowd. It was so awkward.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, it's, like, all over the internet now. Like, who was he saying
who was
that
girl?
To?
He was shushing someone.
Yeah, like, basically someone was, like, having a conversation while he was trying to make a speech. And he was like, okay,
also,
stop.
Like, you're winning a Lifetime Achievement Award. Like, what's the baseball hat for? I feel like
right.
something you would do,
there
maybe.
Was, no, there was a bit between
him and Rita.
Him, yeah, exactly, where she told him to pick up his cap, and so he put it on. There was some connection between
them. It was like, oh, she told me to do that
on
for
set.
4 years or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Anyway,
cute.
Super deserving. I mean,
right.
listen, this guy's been around for forever. He's looked this age since I was, like, five. Somehow he's just...
Since he was born.
Like, literally.
He's looked like since
what's
he
what's
born.
Crazy about Morgan Freeman, though, like, I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I'm pretty sure he, like, didn't land his first big roles until, like, his 40s or 50s. And so... To be, I think, in his, like, what, 70s or 80s now, to have this Lifetime Achievement Award probably is so special for him, because so many people, if they haven't landed that big role by the time they're a certain age, give up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, did you listen to Sam Rockwell's acceptance speech?
No,
he
that's
said,
actually not that. We'll talk about Three Billboards next.
Yeah, he said something to, like, this is to the youth and the up-and-coming actors, because I guess he scored his first big role later in life, and he was like, I can remember all the times I was bussing tables. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just really nice to hear that, especially, you know, for actors in Hollywood who just haven't gotten their shot yet.
I think Kristen mentioned it too. She's like, for everyone who's like sharing a 5-bedroom apartment in Silver Lake right now, like
right.
watching this on the couch with their roommates, like,
oh yeah,
you know, she made like a bit about it, and I think that that's like really important, because all those people are SAG actors too.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know, we're just the ones that are here now, but we were all there at one point too.
Right. Well, it's the only award show from actors for actors.
For actors.
So
exactly.
It's really a nice community.
It's special. Yep. They get to, you know, recognize each other. And I think it is important to know your roots, and I think that applies to every industry, not just acting, you know? There's a process, and I think that, like, people our age, maybe people that are watching this show just, like, are expecting this immediate gratification in life in general, and I think so many of these films show you that you don't necessarily get that, you know?
Us millennials.
Yeah, specifically, actually, Three Billboards. Frances McDormand, who won for Best Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor, like, that film is... Literally, she carries it all on her shoulders, in my opinion, and it could not be more well-deserving, this award. But, like, that was not an easy feat. She must have worked for months on this movie. Like, she was literally in every scene. So for her to be, you know, winning this award, I think is a really big deal. She said, this is great, and I thank you, but there's a lot of young ones coming up. Like, let's think about that, too. So I think that that was, like, a common... you know, theme addressed throughout the night.
To the next generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Three Billboards took home a lot of big awards. It took home Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture,
mm-hmm.
which is arguably the biggest award of the night. It took home Best Supporting Actor for Sam Rockwell, and then Best lead actress for Frances McDormand. This, in my opinion, it is nominated for the Grammy for Best Picture. I personally think it's going to win.
Grammy?
For Oscar.
Sorry, Grammy. It's nominated for a Grammy.
Frances McDormand's new album is so crazy.
They're dropping the three Billboards beat. Sorry, Grammys are coming up next weekend, so just a quick, we'll be here next Tuesday to talk about that. Nope, Oscars. Anyway, I have to have like at least one flub in episode. Anyway, at least we're not talking about The Voice this time. Best Picture Oscar. What do you think? Okay, so let's talk about the nominees, and we can discuss three Billboards with it. Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread. What's Phantom Thread? The Post, Shape of Water, and three Billboards. Nine nominations.
Interesting. Phantom Thread.
What is Phantom Thread?
Okay, so it's a movie about a designer. It's a timepiece.
Oh.
It's a period piece.
Oh.
I'm not sure what it's at. It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay, can I say something? I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis has had his like retirement from acting every year.
Yeah, I don't really
there's many actors who are like that too.
Move. Have you noticed? Like, he says that a lot.
I don't know if I've heard it before. I'm just not really sure what the point of that is.
Yeah, like, what would the point of saying that be? Like, okay, we'll miss you.
My last role.
I don't know.
Right.
I've heard really great things about Phantom Thread.
Okay, mm-hmm. So what did you think of three Billboards? Like, do you think it's worthy of all the praise it's been getting?
I think it's always interesting, like, when I first see a film, I think it's really important to note your first reactions before you even talk with anyone else, what you thought about it, how you felt the story was, what the characters spoke to you. So I think right after I saw it, I was like, this was amazing. The acting was amazing. I was a little unsure of how many celebrities they had in that film. And
Woody
like
Harrelson.
If they all needed to be in there. Like Peter Dinklage, I'm not sure.
His character was the most unnecessary.
It was an interesting... I love him too.
He played like the town midget.
Yeah,
but, I mean, like, wasn't a part of the story, really.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I think right after I saw it, I was like, this was amazing, and they had some really amazing performances, and I thought the storyline was really interesting because it was about so many different things.
It
wasn't just about this billboard and this terrible incident that happened.
It was about cancer.
Yeah, it was
about
so many
dynamics,
different things.
Yeah.
But, like I was saying, after so many different people see it and you read so many articles, and there is quite a backlash, I guess you could say, with this movie right now. So I was reading about that today because I thought that was interesting, and especially pertaining to Sam's character
Rockwell's?
In the movie.
Oh, yes, because he's a racist.
Like, just bluntly racist, right? And then the arc of his character is by the end, as someone viewing, you like this character, right?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like he's changed in some way without him actually, like, recognizing
how messed up.
So it's interesting. And like I was saying, this goes with every movie you see.
I wonder, though, if it will win Best Picture for an Oscar just because there is that racial controversy, which I know that they're very careful with, especially for Oscars after the whole, like, Oscars so white thing happened a few years ago. Yeah, that is really interesting point.
Great movie, though.
It is. Personally, like, I had to sit with that one for a long time. Have you two seen it yet or not?
I haven't seen it.
So, like, when I saw that movie, I left the theater and, like, felt really unsatisfied with the ending.
I did, too.
And
yeah, it was kind of an interesting
ending. It took me a long time to be like, I love this film, because I left feeling really hungry for what happened, but then I realized it's not about what happened. One of our friends named Becca actually works for Fox Searchlight, who is the production company that created this film, and Frances McDormand and, like, everyone who's worked on it actually doesn't know how it ends, which I think was almost, like, what I needed to hear, because I didn't know what happened and I wanted to know what happened, but I think the point is that you don't know what happened and you kind of need to figure it out, think about it on your own. I thought about this movie the whole weekend.
Yeah, I think, and just you saying it right now made me think a lot about how I was saying it's not about this incident that happened, and I think the ending is even, like, hinting at that more, right? I can't give anything away. I don't want to say
that. Yeah, don't
spoil
it. Just people.
But I do think that, like, that is a telling sign of, right, like, it's about much more than what exactly happened in the movie.
I agree. Let's talk about a big TV show winner. I think maybe the most wins for a TV show. We talked about it last time with the Globes. We have to talk about it again. I think it's the best show of the year. Big Little Lies took home Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor for Alexander Skarsgård. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor, which was Nicole Kidman. So it's so nice that, like, they played each other's spouses in the show and they both won. It's pretty cool. But what's interesting about the female actor is that Nicole was up against both Reese Witherspoon and Laura Dern from the same show, which is just a testament to, like, how incredible this film. I mean, this. Right. I mean, right. It's not.
Well, it's been like that multiple times, especially with the Emmys and with the Golden Globes, and she's won pretty much every single time.
And for those of you who, everyone's seen the show, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're watching and you haven't seen it, like, plug your ears. But Alexander Skarsgård was just announced to be in season 2, which is kind of so shocking.
Interesting.
Okay, so, and it's not, and he made a comment that, like, he doesn't actually know his character's fate.
Yeah.
And that, like, he's not just supposed to be in flashback. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, HBO hasn't confirmed anything, but he mentioned that in an interview. Oh, I think it was with Variety or something. I read it today. So, yeah, he's been confirmed for season 2, even though he was, like, seemingly killed off. So we'll see. Very excited that he'll be back. He's won the Emmy, the Golden Globe, and now the SAG Award for the same performance. And he quoted in his speech saying that this show has been the best experience of his career.
I mean, of course, he did a sweep. So
I think that this show is so important for so many reasons and, like, needs to be watched by everyone. But it's also just, like, a beautiful piece of art. I think for a TV show, the cinematography, Max can at least attest to this, is gorgeous. It reminds me of House of Cards in the sense that I feel like TV shows often put cinematography in the back seat. Mm-hmm. But House of Cards, I always felt like I was watching a movie. Whereas I feel similarly with Big Little Lies.
Yeah, I definitely pay much more attention when HBO comes out with a TV show. I feel like I've seen most of theirs. So this one was, well, this one was actually recommended by my mom. She is obsessed with this show. and so I watched the whole thing through and I thought it was very visually pleasing. I thought it was a good storyline. I didn't know what was going to happen in the end.
Me either.
But yeah, I very much enjoyed that show.
Yeah,
I agree. I loved that show.
We've talked about it before. I mean, I think it's... I mean, I also have been, like, had the soundtrack on repeat all week for the last week. If you haven't listened to the soundtrack, it's all on Spotify. It is so
good.
Maybe
they're nominated for a Grammy.
Maybe they are.
Yeah. Google it. Laura Dern... She's been killing it.
She has.
She was in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're all having such big years. Like, yeah. Reese Witherspoon has her own production company, Hello Sunshine, and she's producing, just got announced she's, like, an EP on a new comedy for Apple with Kristen Wiig.
She was just, like, so big, good.
They're all so lovable in their own way, and I actually don't think Shailene was nominated for anything.
She wasn't,
which
and
is
I
a
have
bummer.
Felt like she's been left out of
Me
the
too.
Conversation, yeah, which has been pretty interesting.
And I actually think that her character almost is the most relevant for everything that's going on right now, arguably with Nicole Kidman's, but,
she
like...
She did such a great job.
It's interesting to me that it was Nicole, Laura, and Reese when I feel like Shailene acted more than Laura did in the show.
Right, right. I agree.
Laura was more in, like, episodes 6 through 9 when I feel like Shailene was very much throughout.
But Laura Dern is so good at
I mean, she's
character.
Iconic.
She's amazing.
Because
really
good. You know that character. Like, you know that person in school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you
know? Renata. Also, like, Liza cued me in on this, but I was like, why are they saying her daughter's name so weird? It's actually Amabella.
It is Amabella.
Not Annabella.
Well,
because I
thought it was
have...
so weird the entire time, yeah. So I looked it up and I was like, Amabella.
Such a strange name. They're all from the book.
I caught that.
Yeah, Amabella and Celeste and Renata.
Right.
Those are my new dog names. I'm going to name my dogs that.
Renata.
I also just have to point out that Nicole Kidman said a very long speech, which was really good, had no music. Like, no music came on. And then I was like, well, maybe they're just not doing music for the night. But no, it's just Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Because then Sterling K. Brown, like, he said kind of a long speech and they started playing the music at the end.
Sterling is another one that
maybe
has
had. Maybe she took his time up.
Yeah. Probably.
She took everyone's time.
Live
like,
TV.
You don't stop Nicole Kidman. No, you just let her go.
Let her go. Yeah, I mean, she's a queen. Her and Keith Urban are like couple goals to the max.
I know.
Like, so sweet together. Her Golden Globe speech to him was so sweet. And it's funny because I actually watched the Country Music Awards this year and, like, his speech to her was equally cute. Like, they're just so sweet.
But that's the best part of them is that she's an Oscar winner, I believe.
Yeah.
She's an Oscar winner, but she'll go to the AMAs with Keith Urban.
Yeah, she goes with him.
it's just, it's amazing. And he's a Grammy winner, and he'll go, you know, to the Golden Globes with her. It's just so sweet.
Or, yeah, to the SAG Awards, which is, like, all actors. Like, that's not really his world, but, oh, look at them together. So cute. he's such a dude.
So I was gonna say, and we may be touching on I, Tonya later, but I thought...
We can get there right now.
There was an interesting... I mean, I think there's an interesting parallel between domestic violence in Big Little Lies and domestic violence in I, Tonya. Yeah,
that is interesting.
In I, Tonya, it's kind of just, like, the way... Or, like, it just wasn't touched on in the same light and darkness that, like, it was kind of just... Well, I guess it's different. It was, like, her life, I guess. It was just the story that was going on.
I think it was the time as
well.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think I, Tonya happened in the 90s, and I believe... Big Little Lies is supposed to be in Monterey in 2002. I don't know. Or like,
oh, I thought it was pretty current.
Is it more recent? I don't know. I think it's like in the 2000s.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Whatever. They have like Apple computer. I don't, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I, Tonya. So speaking of I, Tonya, Allison Janney won for best outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role for this film, which I, okay, so I saw I, Tonya, and maybe unpopular opinion, I didn't love it.
I felt the same way.
I liked it. I did not leave being like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. We talked about this in the past. I have empathy for her character because of the domestic abuse and what she went through, but I don't think that justifies like what happened and what she was involved in. And now that I've watched her ABC special and like I've kind of done my own research, it seems like she knew more than she let on in that film. And I think she was portrayed in a bit of a better light than maybe she is.
Right. Well, I think with most movies, when there is a quote-unquote villain, you kind of empathize with them, and you want them to succeed in a way, because they're the main character. They're the, I guess, antagonist, but you want to see them make it through.
She's like an anti-hero, almost.
Yeah. But that's kind of why it's like, I was sitting there, but I had so much anxiety, because I knew exactly what was going to happen to her.
I feel like, same with these stories, I somehow, like, just don't know the full story prior to seeing the movie.
I don't think I knew the full story either.
I didn't know at all, for sure.
This picture is amazing, though.
Margot Robbie's performance in the entire film was really great.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
As much as I don't know if I connected with it as much, I thought she did a really great job, and I thought Allison Janney did a really great job as well. And her like last monologue was really powerful.
Yeah. And I think the connection that you made between this and Big Little Lies is really interesting, and not a conversation that most people are having. I think that domestic abuse was also coming from her parent, mm-hmm. which you don't really see in Big Little Lies. You only really see it between...
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's really shown in this film, like her mom like throwing things at her, or verbally and physically abusing her. And I think that, like, Allison Janney did a great job playing this role. What I thought was interesting is they've gotten in touch, obviously, with the real Tonya Harding, but they actually weren't able to get in touch with her real mom. So Allison had to kind of create this character on her own, which is why I think it's why she won the award, because she really did the character justice without having to really ever meet the actual woman, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. And then just, like, speaking about, you know, like, the domestic violence, the Me Too movement in general with all these different shows, I thought it was interesting who did and didn't choose to attend the award shows. I feel like we have to talk about that. I have a very, like, interesting opinion on all of these. I don't really think that that's relevant, but Aziz Ansari did not come, though he was nominated. James Franco did come.
He snuck in.
Didn't do the carpet. He came in the back door. And didn't do any press, didn't do any photos, just came to see if he won his award. And he wasn't nominated for the Oscar for it, but he did attend the SAG Awards. Aziz did not, according to TMZ, which, believe it or don't, Aziz was supposed to be there up until Friday and then randomly pulled out before Sunday. So something came up between Friday and Sunday where he decided he wasn't going to go. Just an interesting to note.
Well, okay, what I think is interesting, and I was thinking this before, of course they're not... Any sexual harassment is on the same level of horrific. Obviously, Harvey Weinstein is not going to attend any of these.
No, he's in a rehab facility in Arizona.
But I wonder how the Hollywood communities are acting around people like this when they do choose to come to these award ceremonies.
Because
you can't act like something's like it's normal.
Well, yeah, I think there was an interesting tweet that happened today between Justin Timberlake and Woody Allen's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
What?
Yeah, it was like a whole, I don't know. I can find it if need be. It was just like, it was kind of like, you can't stand idly by and just like pretend that this stuff isn't happening, and that almost makes you like an enabler in these situations.
But what are they supposed to do?
No,
James Franco.
Exactly.
Out?
No, they're not. But regardless, I think what happened with Aziz may, I mean, it's obviously, like, I'm not sure if it's a standalone incident. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I don't think that if it was exactly what the young woman, Grace, who's going nameless, said it was, I don't know if that's a sexual assault. Maybe it's misconduct. But I don't know if, I can't put that in the same box as what Harvey Weinstein did. And I think that's a greater discussion. But I think it's interesting that he didn't come. And I think it's,
I think it's interesting he didn't come, and I think it's interesting that
James Franco
went.
Did. When the three women were on Good Morning America this morning, two women that were had allegations against James Franco. I don't know. It's confusing. It's a weird time to be in Hollywood. It is definitely a challenging time to be a man in Hollywood. I think going to any of these events must be uncomfortable. And a lot of the men, maybe not these two in particular, but a lot of the men are extremely supportive and extremely, like, feminist. And so I can imagine that they're also feeling challenged, that what do we talk about? Like, do I talk about this in my speech? Do I not? Am I going to be shamed if I do, shamed if I don't?
I don't think that James Franco should have done the in-between thing. I think you either go or you don't go. Because if you're going, you're saying James Franco is saying that he's innocent and that the way these women described what he did is not accurate, whether it is or isn't.
Yeah, I agree.
But then go and act as if you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
So walk the red carpet and maybe explain if you're
stand
being interviewed.
Yourself,
explain, like, this isn't exactly the way that it happened.
Face everyone.
Yeah, but don't do the in-between thing where you're hiding and then you come in.
Yeah, that was
and then
weird.
And then he was still nominated, so it, like, showed his face.
I was shocked
to see
his face.
He just looked so uncomfortable. I was, too.
Because I didn't see him on
like,
the carpet.
Like,
right.
Are you guilty? You're acting like you're guilty.
Exactly. Like, you're kind of hiding, but then you're still going because you're nominated. But
wait,
this is
I didn't
awkward.
See Disaster Artist. Did you see Disaster Artist?
I did not.
I haven't seen it yet, so I haven't.
Biggest fan of
his
Franco.
Yeah, nor am I, to be completely honest. But that's just as an artist, not necessarily as a person. I don't know him. But Disaster Artist is the one about the guy who made The Room. I don't know. Like, I'm not surprised that that's not nominated for an Oscar. Like, if you look at the other films that are nominated for an Oscar, I'm like, yeah, and okay, that's not there. Big whoop.
Yeah, I think a lot.
Neither
of
was
people,
The Greatest Showman. Who cares?
I feel like it was a lot more of an expectation thing going into the movie and coming out feeling like, wow, that was actually really good. And I think, you know, maybe it has Oscar potential, but I think, like, as far as ranking up, like, as a subjective film to the others, I don't think it, I haven't seen it, but from what I've read, isn't really in that same category.
This is kind of a loaded question, but because we have a resident man on our panel.
Oh, sure.
What's your take on everything happening in Hollywood? I mean, obviously, you see this in every industry, but because, you know, you are involved in entertainment, well, I mean, what do you think about all this? I know it's kind of a loaded question.
I mean, it's pretty rough what's going on right now, and I think with the Aziz thing, like, I'm so ready to give up these people that I maybe once revered or looked up to. So when that Aziz thing came out, and to be completely honest, I haven't been keeping up with that. But I was like, okay, here's another seeming celebrity that, like, completely misused their power for something or other. I mean, it's tough. I just feel like it goes on. It clearly has gone on for a really long time, and it's a problem. I mean, it's a huge problem. It's not only a problem with the Weinsteins. I think the Aziz might be a more interesting case to look at, as, like Danny was saying, kind of where you'd put his misconduct. That middle ground guy, those, it's not, you know, going to jail maybe, but those people, I think, are also very interesting to look at and try to make an example of, I don't know. It's really difficult, yeah. And I think it's good that everything's coming out, and
yeah,
people that don't think that they're doing anything wrong at all, introspectively can, you know, learn from that. So, yeah.
That's definitely.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you, Person123, for watching as well. You have a really good username. They were upset that Tom Hanks wasn't nominated, and hey, it's Tom Hanks. Direct quote from Person123. That's true. Tom Hanks wasn't nominated, so... That's interesting. Thank you, Person, for letting us know.
It's interesting because I feel like the post has all
Have you seen
of
that?
People,
has anyone seen that?
I've never seen the post.
I haven't seen it yet, and I must.
But I feel like it has everyone, like, stereotypical award winners across the
board.
Yeah,
Meryl Streep.
And
like,
it hasn't really, you know.
Tom Hanks. Yeah, it hasn't really brought anyone home yet.
She was nominated, right?
For the Oscar?
Or for SAG?
I don't think she was for the SAG, and I don't think she was there.
I think she might have been for the Oscar.
For the Oscar.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, she was for the Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to the SAG Awards. A show that took home big award. This Is Us. It's a couple big awards. One was Sterling K. Brown's. He won Best Actor in a Drama Series. And then the biggest award that they won was Best Ensemble in a Drama Series. They beat out Game of Thrones, Handmaid's Tale, The Crown, Stranger Things. Like, they beat out the Netflixes and Hulus and HBOs. A network like television broadcast NBC has not done that in so long. Like, they were all shocked. You could see it on their faces. I mean, I think when it comes down to ensemble, this show really kills it. Like, they are defying, like, generations, time. Like, they're constantly time traveling. They're going back and forth. It's really, like, all of them carrying the show. So I think that this was the perfect award for them to win. There's so many of them. There's literally three people playing each character, except for Mandy Moore's. But, like, yeah, I thought it was great, and I was really excited to see them win. Milo gave a fun speech and really thanked all the people that worked on the show, like, a lot of the people that don't often get thanked. Like, I love when they throw nods to PAs and ADs and people that don't get the recognition. Yeah, exactly. They're not on that stage with them, but they're doing the work.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that was really cool, and I absolutely adore the show, so...
You know what else is really cool is when you're nominated for Best Ensemble, every single person gets that nomination, so every single person gets that award.
So they all get a trophy.
Nice.
That's cool.
Even the little
Look
Liz
at little Tess.
Cast.
Look at little Tess
yeah.
holding her freaking
little baby
SAG award.
Lonnie Chavez gets an award. He's
yes.
a SAG winner. So it's really cool. And it was really cool because from the platform I could see them all running around in the carpet and they're all running up to Milo and hugging him and running up to Chrissy and they were literally like a family on the carpet.
So
and
sweet.
It was just so cool to see them all interact because you could just tell how well they get along on set. So I think that's almost a testament to why they won this award is
yeah.
because they're all so obsessed with each other and they're so passionate about,
yeah.
you know, the show.
Yeah, I agree. I love this show. They really are a family, you know? It's beautiful to see. And they tell so many important stories on this show as well.
Mm-hmm.
They like, break down, you know, racial barriers, like, body image barriers, you know, mixed families, modern families. Mm-hmm. Like, they really do. And I think that it's a show that, like, you really have to be in the mood to feel emotional to watch. Like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I can watch this week. I don't know if I'm in the mood to cry. But, like, it is so good and so sweet and so special and, like, makes you feel, like, warm inside. And everyone really can relate to someone on the show. I feel like each character, like, I may not relate to the same person that you would relate to, but we would both be able to relate to someone. And I think that's, you know, why the show does so well. And Sterling, you know, gave a beautiful speech, as always, for
He's
his
so
role.
He was nominated,
so cool.
right?
Who was?
Sterling?
Yeah, he won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he won. I can't wait till Sterling wins an Oscar. He's going to win an Oscar soon. I, like, taste it in the next few years. He's going to be in some big movie, like...
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of, you know,
him shows.
But, yeah, he is very well-deserving. Another show that did really well was Veep. They won Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble Cast in a Comedy Series. This Is Us was drama. Angelina Louis-Dreyfus won for a Female Actor in a Comedy Series. This was Veep's last year to be nominated because the show just ended. And sadly, Julia Louis-Dreyfus was not there because she is currently fighting and recovering from breast cancer. So we are thinking of her. I was really sad that she wasn't there last night, but her cast was there for her and accepted the awards for her. And yeah, it was really, you know, I think I'm sure she was watching from home and it was special for her to see because this show was like her baby. She carries it on her shoulders. Like, she was in Seinfeld and she was obviously iconic in that show, but this one's hers and it's all on her. And I've recently started watching it and love it. So Yeah, I think another HBO win, as they do.
How many seasons? It has like...
Seven? Six?
So many seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for comedies to go that long these days. It really is. I mean, like, if you think about, like, The Office and, you know, Friends... Yeah. I mean, we have Big Bang Theory is going forever, and so is Modern Family, but most others these days end quickly. Like, even
It's Always Sunny is also a long one.
Yeah, long-standing. But, you know, they don't always go that way, and especially on an HBO. Girls ended sooner than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. It's fun to see. One movie that I have to talk about that I feel like was a little bit snubbed at the SAG Awards was Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. So, not a single award. I literally wrote in my notes, "Where's my love for Lady Bird at?" It was my favorite movie of the year.
Sad. Okay, so Saoirse Ronan and Timothy Chalamet
did the carpet
interview
together
and they were probably my favorite interview to watch. They were just so, first of all, I think Timothy Chalamet is so cool. So is Saoirse Ronan. And if anyone's seen Lady Bird, you'd obviously are in love with their characters. Even though he's a little bit of a douchebag on it, but still
such a
amazing.
Funny character.
And they were just like,
oh my gosh, what was the scene where they
like, up together?
What was the scene where they were like, they had sex or something, and she was like, it wasn't your first time. He was like, it was my first time with you, or something.
Maybe it was my fifth.
I was also a little confused by that scene because he did say that.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. I mean, that seems like a really high school thing
happens
these days. I don't really know what the kids are doing, but who
knows? The kids are doing
him consistently reading a People's History of the United States is one of
the funniest things. It's just like such
just
like
liberal,
this like I'm a hipster kid. Yeah.
Really good.
So he's actually nominated for lead actor for Call Me by Your Name, and she's nominated for lead actress for Lady Bird, so they will both be back at the Oscars, so maybe you'll get some more red carpet time with them too.
Some more Timothy.
Both movies actually are nominated for Best Picture as well. We haven't really talked about Call Me by Your Name. It wasn't really at the SAG Awards. What happened? Why? What? Huh?
Yeah,
it's nominated for all the other award shows. I haven't seen it yet. I'm dying to. For those who have seen it, cue us in on why you
think it wasn't
nominated.
I don't know exactly why it wouldn't have been nominated. I think also what's been interesting about that movie is that his Timothy's co-actor Armie Hammer. Yeah, I thought he did a really good job too. And I haven't really read anything about him. Did you not think
he didn't get a lot of awards?
I love Armie Hammer.
Kind of a honk.
I didn't think it was his strongest.
I thought he played
towards the beginning
like
of the movie.
Character.
I thought it was good. I thought Timothy kind of carried it a little bit more. But then again, Timothy was the lead actor in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see this.
It was honestly my favorite.
I haven't seen it.
So
it's
that's
summer
where my
love.
Only best. It really is.
That's what it is.
Everyone who's leaves seeing is like, okay, I like need to go like give someone a hug or
my
something.
My favorite part of it is it doesn't really put a label or a barrier on what their relationship is. You just think it's a love story and you're just so engulfed in it. And everyone has these feelings no matter what kind of relationship you have. So that's what I loved about it. I don't know. It was addicting.
It was amazing. And not only these two characters, the two leads, but also the dad who, and I'm blanking on his name, might be like Stahlberg or something. He was also in Shape of Water.
A lot of them were in multiple films. This kid was in Lady Bird.
The
kid who was in Three Billboards who played Danny was also in Lady Bird.
The dad
so many
in
crossovers.
Call Me By Your Name and his closing monologue was like just amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a great... Yeah, Michael Stuhlbarg, that's his name. He was really great. Overall, really poetic piece. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Yeah, but I don't know why it wasn't...
Yeah, it kind of got snubbed at SAG. But I feel like Lady Bird was also snubbed at SAG. But they're both plenty represented at the Oscars. Very excited to see what else is to come this award season. We, next week, are going to be covering the Grammy Awards. We'll do a quick special on that one. Music, we haven't talked about that yet. We've been talking about all these movies and TV shows. And as fun as they are, I am very excited to talk about music.
I'm curious to see if there's a crossover between the times up at...
Yeah, I am
the
too.
The red carpet for the Grammys.
Yeah.
I wonder, because they haven't really had their chance to speak on it yet as a music community.
Well, and the Grammys carpet is a little bit more colorful and personable and a lot of cool personalities you see, so I can't wait.
I'm sure they'll talk about it, if any of our fun viewers who have been watching with us all night, thank you, Sky Patterson and Person123 for being very active in the chat. If any of them want to continue the conversation with you guys on social media, where can they find you?
You can find me at Lauren T. Pacheco on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me at Liza.Rubin on Instagram.
And I am Leon.Max on Instagram.
Thank you, Max, so much for joining us and for giving us some film insights. You are always welcome back. And as always, I am Danny Golub. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Golub. We will see you guys next week for Grammys. Thanks for tuning in.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.